Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome back. Sorry that we took a surprise week off last week. It just like truly time got away in such an extreme manner that suddenly it was Tuesday. Well, what happened really was my parents came and saw my show. Shout out Eileen and Ted, real ones. And my show was also closing. But while my parents were seeing my show in Virginia, they wanted to do like a road trip and see a bunch of Virginia. And then we just didn't have the time to record before we left. And then suddenly we were on the road and I didn't have a microphone with me. And it became increasingly clear that the podcast was not going to happen.
Sorry.
But we're making it up to you because we have an episode now. And we also officially are ready to announce our plans for what's happening. We're no longer sitting on our hands. We're no longer twiddling our thumbs. Welcome to the one where we find out what's happening next. We're going to make an announcement. But first, I have to make a personal announcement. The personal announcement is that my name is Ian Allred, and I'm a Gleek.
I'll do the same. I feel so inspired by your personal announcement. I'll do one for myself.
Oh.
Hey, everyone. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I'm also a Gleek.
God, that was so brave.
I know. You know me.
I'm really impressed. That was incredible.
Thanks. Oh, my gosh. I missed you last week, genuinely. I missed you a lot.
I missed you too, babe. Sorry about that. It was fully
on
my end.
No, it's okay.
It's totally. Hey. Didn't do it.
West Virginia.
Mount Mama.
When the country calls, you have to go.
I think, seeing Wildrow Woodruff's home. Is that what I was doing on Tuesday? His birthplace, Stanton, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went, we saw his birthplace, and they like mention how he was the president that ratified the 19th Amendment. Is that what that's called? I don't remember that term. But like, he is the one that gave women the right to vote. And I thought,
shout out.
I thought, hey, this reminds me of a little. Yes, shout out, but
complicated.
It took him a long time to do it.
Yeah.
But I was like, this reminds me of a little musical called Suffs. And then I made my parents listen to Suffs for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So that we could all learn about, you know, what are their names? Carrie Chapman Clark, Cat, Carrie Chapman Cat, pardon me. Alice Paul, Ida B. Wells, Mary Terrell, that's her last name. All those divas. Heck yeah. The reason, okay, Woodrow Wilson, shout out, gave women the right to vote. He's a real one for that. It did take him like nearly his entire presidency. Like it was the end of his second term.
Yeah.
And he
like,
kept.
Oh, twist my arm. I'll let women vote.
Yeah, and he kept telling NASA, he was like, yeah, I'm totally going to give women the right to vote. I just have to deal with this other stuff first. Like, he just kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And literally, it got to the point that the suffragists were, like, protesting outside the White House for months and months and months. They were thrown in prison. They were, like, force-fed in prison because they were going on a hunger strike. His, oh my gosh, what is this position called? His... I'm just going to look up Dudley Malone's position because I can't remember the actual word for it. Secretary of State. His Secretary of State fully resigned and published his resignation letter in the Washington Post. And in his resignation letter was like, part of the reason I'm resigning is because President Wilson will not make good on his promise to let women vote. So like, shout out. It's nice that he did it, but really... It was the least he could do. Exactly. Exactly.
That
he
sucks.
Just kind of like kept saying yes to stay in people's good favors, but then never actually put his money where his mouth was.
Yeah. What the hell?
Girl, you should see Suffs. It's going on tour soon. That musical rocks.
I loved that show.
I was like, I don't know. Something about it, and I'm going to be honest, like maybe it's internalized misogyny. I'm not a woman. Maybe it's misogyny. I don't know. But something about it, I had never listened to any of the music. I had only ever seen like just like ads for it. Mm-hmm. I was afraid that it was going to be a little SNL high school theater project, you know?
Yeah.
Just like very like, we are also open-minded and like we're changing the world. And like we as artists, you don't even get what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw it in person and I could not be more wrong. And I was literally sobbing. It's so yeah. good. And something I love about that show is it tells the history of the 19th Amendment. It talks about like how it got passed and you learn a lot. But its main focus is on how these women probably felt. Like instead of just being like a history lesson or yeah. being a like, go us, it is a very honest depiction of what it must have felt like for those women.
Yeah.
And it talks a lot about, you know, like Alice Paul. And once again, like we don't know if this is actually how they felt, but we're guessing to humanize the story. Like Alice Paul talks a lot about how she feels like it's her calling to like make this happen and to move things forward. But then also she would love to have a family and she would love to settle down, but would that be abandoning her cause?
Mm-hmm.
But then also is chasing the cause robbing her of having a full life? And yeah. also is the only reason she's doing this is because she's afraid that no one could ever really love her? And then it talks a lot about the hypocrisy where it was all of these white women being like, we deserve equal rights. And then black women were like, yeah, and we deserve them too. And the white women were like, yeah, I guess, but not yet. Like mm-hmm. it talks a lot about that and about these black suffragists who were fighting to get women the right to vote, even though they knew that that was not going to apply to yeah. them and they would still not be able to vote.
Yeah.
It's so good. I loved that show.
I would love to see it. I definitely would love that.
Hey, check it out. Check it out. Going on tour soon.
Shout out to the Suffs tour.
Wow, I really went on a Suffs tangent.
I love it. Hey,
everyone, check it out.
Hey,
it's
you
great.
You saw Woodrow Wilson's house. You have to.
I had to. Mm-hmm. And then I listened to the whole OBC, and it also made me cry while we were listening to it in the car.
I love that.
Shout out.
I love that. I'm glad your parents got to come and see your show. Yeah. How was closing? How did it go?
Oh my gosh, closing went really well. For anyone who doesn't know, I just got done doing Matilda the Musical at Wolfbane Productions in Lynchburg, Virginia. I played, so basically how Matilda goes is there's, you know, the children's ensemble, which is like Matilda and all her classmates. And then there's the principal adult roles, which are like Matilda's parents and Miss Trunchbull and Miss Honey. And then traditionally there is an adult ensemble that plays all of these bit parts and then also plays the older kids at the school.
Yes.
I don't know if y'all know this about me. I'm the tallest man who's ever lived.
Tall as a tree.
So there was no shot that I was going to pass as a child by any stretch of the imagination. So what ended up happening is I played every male ensemble character. So I was the doctor in the opening number, and then I was the escapologist that like pops up throughout the show. Then I was like, there's one scene where there's a mechanic and like I was the mechanic. And then I was the head of the Russian mafia at the end. It was really fun.
Good.
It was really fun to like play a million different parts.
You
and get
love
to
that.
Makeup. And I also, you know, the doctor gets to like belt his face off. The Russian mafia guy, it's like a very comedic, silly, funny scene. And then the escapologist has a lot of like drama, sentimental moments. So I kind of got to like do a million different things, which was really nice.
That's nice.
I just like really loved the company. I really loved working with those people. The set was gorgeous. I have loved that show.
Yeah.
Literally, it's one of my favorite Tony performances of all time.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I've watched that Tony performance so much. It
I
always
cry every
makes
time.
Me cry.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It was really great to do it. And we had a double cast of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were in both casts, but some of them were not. But for closing, they wanted everyone to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they had worked out that during bows, both casts of kids would come out and take a bow. But then they also worked both casts of kids into When I Grow Up and Revolting Children.
I'm going to cry.
Specifically Revolting Children. Like
yeah.
all of those kids Aww. Up there. And it's also, it's their last performance. So they are like really
going for it. Yeah.
I don't tell my boss recorded it. Good. I peeked my phone through a curtain and filmed it.
Oh my God. That genuinely makes me emotional. That's so sweet.
it is really like, and they are going for it. And I just, they're these two little kids in that show. The kids, the youngest one was 7. Mm-hmm. The oldest one I think was 14. But there's like the 7 and I don't know how old she is, probably like 8 or 9. They are both in the front, and seeing the two of them, they're so tiny, and seeing the two of them like really go for this choreo. Oh my gosh. It messed me up.
That's really
sweet. It was very sweet.
I'm so glad they all got to do it. I, you know, doing like when I was a kid, I used to be in like double casts, and it was always like a race to who could be the people on closing night. Because it was, you know, and I think that's probably true with what was going on as well. But like to have the opportunity to celebrate together was probably so powerful for them and like really exciting.
Yeah.
I knew you would cry. You love it when children sing, and especially when they sing when they're mad.
Yeah.
It always makes you cry.
It does.
It does.
It does. It always does.
That's so awesome. I'm so glad you got to do that. That's really great. Yeah.
It was really lovely. Also, shout out, friend of the podcast, Jordan, lives in Lynchburg. And when the theater, they announced the cast list, she messaged me and was like, hey, I just saw my local theater like post their cast list and you're in it. Like, that's so exciting. I'm going to come see the show. So she came and saw the show on Friday. Is that right?
Yay.
Yeah, on Friday. So shout out, Jordan. It was great to
Jordan,
meet you.
Jordan, yay.
She met my parents because my parents also saw the show.
Yes, Jordan Eileen. Woo-hoo.
Jordan, also, I like should have told you this in private. Sorry. Sorry if this is weird to tell you on air. Jordan also said to tell you hi, also was like, I want you Jordan. To tell Lena hi. I see myself a lot in her. Mm. So shout out, Jordan.
Jordan, that's so sweet. I'm so glad. I saw that she was there and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome. That's really
cool. That's very cool. That's very cool.
My gosh.
Hey.
Hey.
But that's Matilda. Do I have anything else exciting to say about that? I don't know. It's just really lovely. I just love theater and I love performing and it's nice when you're in a cast with nice people. And
yeah. I also know, I mean, I feel like, and maybe this is weird to say to you, I see you hustling your fucking ass off doing, like, being a toy soldier in a mall for months at a time. And I'm so glad that you have and had the chance to have fun and, like, flex your skills and also, like, make friends. Like, oh my gosh. And, like, have like such an amazing experience. I feel like that is so deserved after all the shit that you go through. So I'm literally every time I see you succeed and have fun and smile, I'm like, that's my king. So I'm so glad.
You.
No, of course. I'm really glad.
Yeah. No, I like not to toot my own horn. It is not like, oh, I'm so talented. People are just offering me jobs. I'm not kidding. Since my last performance job, I've probably auditioned for over 100 things.
Yeah.
So it's just so nice.
Of course.
To work.
Yeah. I'm really glad. Like,
be in a show that is good, that I enjoy doing, that is paying me well. Like, it's nice.
Yeah. And that's all you can ask for, I swear.
Yeah.
That's really great. I'm really glad.
Hey, thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
How have you been?
I'm okay. I'm still, you know, grinding in my own way on my own side of the country, but I'm okay. I'm hanging out, reading books. I watched every season of Love is Blind in a week.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And
have you ever seen that show?
I've seen the first two.
Oh my God. I have nightmares about it. Every time I watch, well, obviously I watched all of it in a week, which is like, it's like 17 hours of TV in a week. A, that show can be 3 hours long. They put in way too much shit. It's way too long. Mm-hmm. B, I always, every time I watch, I can't help but imagine what I would be like on a show like Love is Blind. And I do feel as though I would, there are these girls that I see myself in who like have like two guys literally fighting over them, like season to season to season is like across the board. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as they get the guys like treat them like shit because they weren't anticipating that they would look like how they look, because mm-hmm. men have like a really narrow view of what like feminine people should look like. And I literally have nightmares about it. I'm like, I can't, how am I going to deal with this? Where it's like, girl, don't go on Love is Blind. Simple. You don't have to do this. But it's seriously, it gives me so much anxiety. That show is good. And I'm glad I watched it, because I feel like it was like a piece of like reality TV that I wasn't necessarily familiar with. And I did enjoy it. But I was so anxiety ridden while I was watching it. Really have messed me up.
I remember Love is Blind season one came out just as COVID was like creeping into the world.
So timely.
Nothing had shut down yet, but like you were hearing stuff was happening. And I was on tour doing Romeo and Juliet. Mm-hmm. And we used to watch that show together as a cast. And so like, I don't know. I was like so invested in season one because we were all watching it together. And then season two, timely, I watched when I had COVID.
Yeah.
When I got COVID and had to be locked in my apartment for a week, I binged season two. But I will never forget, because it was like the whole cast watching it, it was like all we could talk about. And we could not get over, was her name Jessica?
Jess, yeah.
We could not get over Jessica. We could not get over Jessica giving her dog wine. The shot of her being like, he loves wine. And then letting him like drink out of her glass. And then constantly, which this is not usually the case. Usually in Love is Blind, it is like you were saying, the man who's like, oh, she's not really what I was anticipating.
Yeah.
Jessica, at least from the way,
this one was the
opposite. Yeah, at least from the way that it was edited, the guy was like so head over heels, such a nice guy.
It was insane to behold.
And she could not get over the fact that she was 10 years older than him, which is also insane because she already knew that in the pod.
I know.
I think the real thing is she wasn't attracted to him, but she felt bad saying that.
Exactly.
So she was making it an age thing. But it was like, you already knew he was 10 years younger before you ever met him.
Yeah, she was just like searching for things to be mad about. Mm-hmm. It was so insane to watch.
She would like talk to her friends after they met him and they would all like him. And she'd be like, yeah, but like, he's so much younger than
me. I know. And they like, were like, girl, you love Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra. Like, they have a big age gap. And they were like, we think it's hot. And she like could not get over it. She was just making things out of nothing. It was, and it sucked so bad because that guy, I think he went on to be like not a great guy. But on the TV show, he was like so devoted. He would like set up these huge dates for her. He would just like treat her so well. And she would like ignore him and like take off her ring, and like it was just really intense. And I just think like that kind of stuff, at least like progressing watching in the show, would not fly now, where it's like if you were to take off your ring, you're effectively removing yourself from the the experiment of we are engaged, we are going to get married. Even though they like went to the altar, I was like, girl, break up with him, you don't like him, it's okay.
I do wonder if the producers told her she wasn't allowed to break it off until altar, because she was so, I will never get over this. It's the most iconic moment of the season to me. She shows up to the wedding. She's in a wedding dress. She walks on the altar actively chewing gum.
Oh, literally.
Chewing gum at her own wedding.
None of her family is there. She's not holding a bouquet. She like, it's nothing.
The minister starts speaking and she is laughing to herself. And then she's like, no, sorry, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And the vibe I get is that she wanted to break it off and the producers told her she had to make it to the wedding. So like she had already been checked out for weeks.
Honestly, but it was, I get that sense wild. Too. Especially on Love is Blind, they usually just use the same venue for everyone and they just kind of like refit it with like new flowers for like per the bride's like request. Jess had like an entirely different venue. She had like an entirely different dress than the one she tried on like while they were trying on dresses. So I wonder if they like souped everything up and like told her she couldn't do this and that they would make everything like bigger so that she would continue to do it. I also heard rumors about this new season because most all of them, other than like one couple, went to the altar, which in some seasons it's just like three, some seasons it's all of them, some seasons, anyway, most of them went to the altar this last season. And I heard a rumor that if you don't get to the altar, you don't get, I mean, and this would make sense. They just don't get paid as much.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And so the couples would, behind closed doors and like without the cameras around, be like,
okay, let's get to the altar.
Yes. So I've heard a lot of the couples from this last season say like those exact words where they were like, we knew that we weren't going to like continue on and we knew that something wasn't working, but we had to, we wanted to like give it a try, which I'm like, I think some people online were like freaking out about it where they were like, you know, they're taking away from, I don't know. It just doesn't cheapen the watching experience to me personally. Honestly, get your money, but.
Exactly. I'm a little bit like, I think that producers cross lines a lot of times.
Yeah.
But I'm like, they are supposed to produce an interesting show. And just like for an audience, seeing a breakup at the altar is more thematically satisfying than just like a random breakup.
Yeah.
So frankly, I'm not really against them being like, okay, if you want to break up, fine, but can you at least be like in a wedding dress when you do it?
No, seriously. And like the drama of leaving someone at the altar, because that's the thing is, I did not really understand what Love is Blind was. I knew that they met in pods, but I didn't understand that they got engaged without seeing each other. And they are for real engaged. Like they are like, and I did not get that. Like, they are like applying for marriage licenses. They are like doing all of their family. Like they are like effectively acting like they are going to get married. And if they get married and then divorce, they have to pay for their own divorce. Like it's like the stakes are high, like a regular marriage. And I just didn't really understand that. So I don't know, man. But yeah.
I remember when Jessica walked down the aisle chewing gum, laughs under her breath, and then breaks up with her fiance and leaves. They cut to a shot of her friend in the audience going, this is so embarrassing for her.
It is. She also
crazy.
In like the reunion, I think she said that she like started dating someone. Oh no, I think that's the other girl. No, never mind. Anyway.
Yeah.
But
this was insane.
I watched that season with my aunt, and my aunt was like, no wonder she's single at 34. She's a piece of shit.
But I do remember Jessica was, and once again, like it's produced and edited, so who knows? But she was like the villain of season one.
Season two.
I remember there were two separate dudes that I was like, you are evil incarnate. And both of them ended up getting married. Like both of them, the fiancés, and both fiancés were like, I'm not going to go through with this. And then suddenly ended up marrying them. And I was like, you guys, no, what are you doing? Please stop.
I know, seriously.
It's crazy.
It is.
It's crazy. There's the one, the kind of like, I'm trying to remember. I think they were both like Southern, like from like Tennessee something. I just remember the woman was genuinely was like, I'm breaking it off. Like they had some date where she like freaked out and then she's on the phone with a family member and she's like, this is not working. I don't like him. We're breaking it off, blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly the next time you see each other, it was like she was a Stepford wife. Like it was very creepy. Like something had happened to the point that people were wondering if she got pregnant and it was a situation. If it was a situation where like she was going to keep the baby and was like, well, I'm not going to raise this alone. So I guess we are going to get married. Like that was that 100%, that was just like the rumor, but that was the rumor. That's because so there was such a like bizarre change in her countenance all of a sudden. And suddenly she was so committed to this man. It was spooky. It was creepy.
Oh my God. All those seasons are blending together to me. The first season was the season I watched last with my aunt. But seriously, they are nameless, faceless to me. I watched so much in so little time. But I did enjoy it. So that's what I've been up to. I also, I would love to talk to you about the new Hunger Games book, but you haven't read it yet. So
I'll keep a spoiler for you. Well, you gotta. Now that it's warmer, I want to like go on walks in Central Park and then like sit down and read.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, girl.
Especially now that it's warmer and I don't have a job.
No, literally. Yeah. It was seriously, I hope you like it. I've really enjoyed it so, so much. It made me, it took me a while to read it because it made me so emotional. And you'll see once you read it, like, you know, there are to do a Hunger Games, you know, like 25 years before the Hunger Games that we know, like, of course we know how it's going to end. Like, we have that information. And I, like, thought I was prepared for that, but I was not. It was really devastating, but it was really beautiful. And I think Suzanne Collins is just so smart. And I think there's so much that's so relevant in this book. So I'm excited for you to read it. And I recommend it to all my Hunger Games kids.
Heck yeah. No, I need to.
People who like to read.
Because I really liked Songbirds and Snakes as well.
Yeah, you'll love that then.
It's hard. Here's, like, the long and short of it. Mm-hmm. So much IP is exploited for nostalgia profit.
Yeah.
Where they're just, like, adding new installments that are not good, but they know people will pay for.
Mm-hmm.
That it's hard for me to believe that Suzanne Collins is not doing the same thing. And then I read them and I'm like, oh no, she's not. She genuinely just had a great idea. But, like, my immediate knee-jerk reaction, because it was the same with Ballads of Songbirds and Snakes. Mm-hmm. And then I read it and was like, oh no, this is excellent. And she's saying a new thing. But I just, like, my knee-jerk reaction is always like, this is Fantastic Beasts all over again. Like, this is just like, we are milking this thing dry and we don't really have anything else to say, but we just want to make more money off of it. No, and I should be kinder to my girl.
Yeah, she's got more integrity. Suzanne's not like that. I do think, frankly, to me, I love the Hunger Games. What?
The connection was lost, but we just got it back.
Okay, great. I love the Hunger Games so much. I am the exact audience for her milking that cash cow. But to me, like, Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes is such a departure from mm-hmm. the original trilogy mm-hmm. that I can just, you know, and this one too, Haymitch is so, oh my God. I can't even tell you, dude. It is so devastating, but it's a departure from both. It's really lovely. And I think Suzanne Collins has literally said, like, I'm not going to make a book if I don't have something to say. And
yes.
And I literally, she's got something to say. It's really lovely. I really loved it so much. It was so, and there's one character that I know you're going to, like, love so much. I won't tell you though.
All right.
I won't tell you.
No, because it's going to be more fun if we're exactly. correct. Like, I end up being like, is it this character?
Because I don't want to tell you, you're going to love Lena. And then you read it and you're like, oh, she said I was going to love Lena. I actually hate her. I just put my own name in there. I'm not in the Hunger Games. Ugh, anyway.
All right. Is it time to make an announcement?
I think it is. We've talked about Love is Blind and our own lives. I think it's time. Okay. I'm really nervous to announce this, but I'm also more excited, you guys.
Why are you nervous?
I'm always nervous. I'm always nervous. But I was telling Ian before we started, it's almost never that I'm more excited than I am nervous. I am more excited. We have been talking about this television show that we are doing next for years. Before Ian and I knew that we were Gleeks together, we were fans of a different TV show together. Mm-hmm. It was something that we first connected on when we first met, and it's always kind of been there with us. And so a couple months ago when we sat down to, like, try out some pilots of some other things, this one, we literally did it, and we were like, of course. It just felt right.
Every other pilot that we talk about, if you go on our Patreon, we're like, well, we could talk about this, and here's what we would say. And we could talk about this, and here's what we would say. And we, like, are excited about them, but it's very, like, it's very hypothetical. And then when you listen to this one, literally by the end of the episode, talking about it together, we're like, so I think this is probably one we're doing.
Yeah. And I mean, I really, while we were doing it, if you listen in, I'm trying so hard to be like, well, when we do this, if we do it, like, to give the other things the benefit of giving them a try. Because we did want to find the right thing for us and the right thing, like, to move on from Glee and to, like, connect to Glee. You know, we wanted to find the right thing and we wanted to try some things out and we wanted to give things the benefit of trying them. And nothing felt as right as this one did. And literally, it was the longest episode that we did. We were literally talking over each other about, like, all the plot lines that we wanted to shout out and we already have so many opinions about this show that I do think one of my favorite experiences about doing Glee is we had so many opinions that we were humbled by, mm-hmm. and we learned a new appreciation for it. And I think that this is going, maybe not the same like arc and journey that we went on with Glee, but at least we are both coming from a place of fangirls coming into a space ready to shoot the shit about something that we both care so deeply about. So I'm really excited. I'm really, 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 really excited. And I'm also nervous because the show means personally so much to me. And I know it means a lot to Ian as well. So I just feel like my heart's on the line, but I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. And I hope you guys are excited too. And I hope you'll come on this journey with us. And I think y'all will really have fun and love it with us. I love this show so much, and I'm excited to share this love with you all.
And Alina,
yeah,
what is the show?
So we're gonna be talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Ian and I, we very quickly realized that we both loved Buffy. Mm-hmm. And I remember we would Marco Polo each other about it all the time. We would like tell each other fun facts, info dump on each other the things we already knew. Like, we both loved it so much. And then we found out we loved Glee. And then
we found out we both loved Buffy in like 2016. We talked about Glee for the first time in 2019.
Exactly. So this has been like a thing. Like, and it's always been when we, I swear, people would ask me all the time, like, what are we going to do when we finish Glee? Like, during season fucking one, people are like, what are you going to do next? And I'm like, you're so silly to me. You're like,
we have years.
I know. And genuinely, like, I am glad we waited as long as we did to make this decision but when people would ask, this would be in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. But I am glad that we gave it the time to make that decision and, like, tried other things because, you know, who knows what would have, you know. Something else could have been the right choice, but we do really feel like that this is a choice we're really excited about. And
yeah,
I'm really excited.
It has always been on the table. Like, mm-hmm. it's always been one of the ones that we talk about. And I think one of the reasons it took so long is we wanted to do what was right for us, and we also want to do what's right for the listeners. Like, we, you know, this podcast exists, yes, because like we like talking to each other, but also because of all of you who have tuned in with us, and mm-hmm. we don't want to just like completely rip the rug out from under you. And so we were trying to find something that we felt like was a spiritual successor to Glee. It became a question of like, what is, if you take Glee out of the podcast, what is the podcast? And like, what is that spirit that we need to carry forth? So we were looking at a lot of different TV shows that we felt kind of carried the torch of Glee in different ways. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I had a great time talking about all of them.
Yeah.
And like, if someone was like, you aren't allowed to talk about Buffy, you have to talk about this, you know, like if an authority figure was like going to go to jail, I would have a good time talking about these other shows.
There were several other that I really could see a split timeline where we do that. And heaven knows we're going to be podcasting until the end of time.
Until the summer. So,
exactly. So heaven knows.
Yeah. But I think the magic of Buffy, and it did take for us to actually, because we talked about like hypothetically doing Buffy, it took us actually recording an episode about it to be like, okay, so actually this is the magic sauce. While, you know, it's not a musical like some of the other shows that we talked about, or it's not like quite as off the rails like Glee gets as some of the other shows we talk about, I think what we bring to the table, like you and me specifically in this podcast, is we love Glee so much, but more importantly, we loved Glee so much. Like, Glee was so important to us at a formative age. And So we have these two dueling perspectives of like, here's what this show meant to me as a child. Here's what it means to me as an adult. And Buffy occupies that same space. That yes. Here's a show that really mattered to me as a kid that I can now go back to as an adult and see how I was influenced by it, things that I love even more, and things that I'm not so sure about anymore.
Yes, exactly. Like, and something that really struck a chord with me that you said pretty recently when talking about Glee is, like, Glee is a kooky, crazy TV show and people make fun of it and blah, 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 blah. But at its core, it's a really good television show. Mm-hmm. And people don't give it the credit that it deserves for being like a piece of media that is influential and good. It is really good. And we were looking at other shows that we were really focusing on, like, the kookiness of Glee in other shows that we were looking at and finding something that is like easy to make fun of or something like that. But when we did Buffy, so much of it is kooky, but it is at its core, like Glee, a really, really good show. And I mean, I can speak for myself. It was incredibly formative in my own like self-realization and in my own like growing up. I feel the same about Glee. I just would not be who I am today without Buffy. I would not be the same person who I am today without Glee. And that feeling we felt would be the best to carry on with for the next mm-hmm. TV show. Because we could do the kooky thing and we can still do that later. But
yeah.
I think and Buffy has that, but it's also so fucking good.
Yeah, I think that's also great. Is Buffy also like, there's stuff in Buffy that I'm like, so what was this about? Like,
oh, no, seriously. And I had like, questions.
It's got the kookiness. So it does, exactly like you said, it does ride that line where there's going to be stuff that's fun to talk about because we think it's kind of stupid.
Yes.
But I think it's really important. It's hard to listen to two people just make fun of something.
Yeah.
It is so much more fun to listen to people tease something that they love. It's like the difference between like poking fun at your sibling and like bullying
someone. Then your friend saying,
exactly, like
your sibling is blah, 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 blah. And then you pick them up and you say, that's my sibling. You can't say that.
Yeah. And I think our relationship with Buffy is that we really love it. It is very important to us. We think it's a very good show. And we also are not going to be afraid to be like, so this was so dumb and stupid. And why did that happen?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I don't know. I just feel, I also think that this world that we're in right now, I think we need some slayers.
Yeah.
I need to myself become the slayer that lives in my heart. And I think that this is just, I think would be super amazing. Yeah. And I also think that I was talking to I went out to like lunch with a bunch of my queer friends and I was like telling them that we were going to do Buffy next and none of them had seen it, but they all knew about Buffy. And I was like, mm-hmm. You guys, we are the exact audience. We need to be watching this show. Like
you say, Willow Rosenberg,
yes,
did not fight for lesbianism for you to not know what Buffy is.
No, I'm fucking serious. And that's the thing, is people need to pay their respects to Willow Rosenberg specifically. But I mean, like, even Buffy Summers and Faith Lehane, I think so much of my personal queer identity lives because I was empowered by Buffy. Like, I could cry. I love Buffy the Vampire. And I'm going to cry so much while we watch Buffy, you guys. It's going to be awesome. And I just know, too, that the people I talk to about it, it's kooky, it's silly, it's maybe in moments hard to get through, but I do feel like it is so worth it and such an amazing journey and is a pioneer in queer television. And I think we need to... Now we need to, but I want to talk about Buffy, and I'm really genuinely so excited and scared, but I'm mostly excited.
Come on, little red. All right. So now we talk about some logistics mm-hmm. of how is this going to go down? So we have, over the past 5 years, worked very hard to, you know, on this beautiful podcast called Recovering Gleek. And we have a little bit of name recognition. We don't want to undo all that work. We want people to be able to find us. We want people who love Glee to be able to easily access the old episodes. So we have decided that, and also I'll be so real, we can't change the name of our Patreon.
Yeah.
And so we could get a new email, but our old email is attached to all of our accounts.
Yeah.
So we are doing a kind of like sir title. What's the above the title? Not a subtitle, but the opposite, a pre-title.
I don't know.
It will be called Recovering Gleek Presents, so that we can keep patreon.com/recoveringgleek. We can keep recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Most of the time, people aren't knowing that we're Ian and Lena. We're Recovering Gleek, and that's okay.
Yeah, so we have like that sort of recognition that people can find us and they know who we are. But the official title of the Buffy series is Slay, a Queer Buffy Podcast. And we will be dropping our first episode on May 7th, next month. Get ready. It will still be under the same podcast feed. So yeah.
If you're subscribed, you'll still get it.
Yeah. If you're subscribed, you'll still get the notification. As we said, we're not going to shut down the Patreon and start a new Patreon. It will be the same Patreon.
It's going to be still the same patreon.com/recoveringgleek.
We are going to change our Instagram name, but it will be the same Instagram. So if you follow us, you follow us, but we are going to change the handle. And yeah, that's all going to be happening in the next month.
Yeah. But we're going to keep Recovering Gleek because we still reserve the right to talk about Glee whenever we want, because we love that show. And there's always going to be, I'm going to talk about Love is Blind for 20 minutes and we're going to talk about Survivor and, it's still going to be us. So it's Recovering Gleek.
Yes. And then as far as feedback, mini hangout episodes, whatever you want to call them, we reserve the right to figure it out like we did the first time around. Our plan currently is that we're going to do one a month. So we'll do three episodes of Buffy, and then a mini hangout episode where we're reading emails, getting listener thoughts, chatting. That could change. We don't know. If we get a ton of emails, we maybe do it more frequently. If we don't get a lot of emails, I don't know. But for starting out, that's the idea. That's the plan. That's the roadmap we have.
I hope you'll come on this journey with us. Yeah. I'm really genuinely really excited. And I think it's just a really special show and I'm excited.
And then in preparation for the premiere, this is correct. Yes. We're releasing an episode on the 16th of this month. So there'll be one more episode before Buffy starts, because Lena and I are going to start recording Buffy next week.
Yeah.
We're just going to have some episodes in the can so that we don't have to do what we did last week. We're surprised there's no episode this week. We ran out of time. So we're going to try and get ahead of it. We're going to have some episodes in the can ready to go. So while we're doing that, there will be no episode next week. The week after, we'll do just a hangout, what's up, just because we like doing the podcast and we like talking about our lives in TV show and reading emails. And so that will be the 16th. And the next episode after that will be May 7th, which will be the official first episode of Slay! A Queer Buffy Podcast.
A Queer Buffy Podcast.
Recovering Gleek Presents. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Exciting stuff.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
Me too.
The first time we talked about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, to my knowledge, at least the first recorded time that I can cite on this podcast, was January 25th, I believe, 2021.
Yeah. I mean, that's within a couple months.
We did the Buffy Long Con was the name of that mini-sode.
Buffy Long Con, yeah.
And we joked in that episode that we were this whole podcast has just been a con to get you guys to listen to us talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And that literally is true.
And the Buffy Long Con has come true.
And this is the real Buffy Long Con. We talked about all of Glee just so we could force y'all to watch Buffy and listen to us talk about it.
Oh,
welcome.
Gosh.
That's called Stockholm Syndrome.
I love it.
Now you're stuck.
Guys, we'll talk more about our experiences of the Buffy, but if y'all want to watch it before watch some episodes, the first season, I mean, we'll see when we rewatch it together. The first season's not my favorite season of television. I love the second season. But we're going to talk about it. I mean, I love the second season. And generally, when I tell a friend to watch it, I love, because you have to watch Prophecy Girl. Anyway, we'll get there. If you want to like jump around and watch some episodes, you can. You can watch it on Hulu or Disney Plus, or it's free on Tubi with ads.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you want to watch along with us, Hulu.
Yeah, watch along with us. Yes.
Hulu, Disney Plus. Although Disney Plus, I think you need the Hulu. I think you need like the.
Yeah. I'm always watching it on Disney Plus because I have the two.
Yeah, you have the two together. But it should be on Tubi. If you don't have Hulu, it should be on Tubi and you just have to watch commercials. But yeah, it's funny because Glee starts off so strong. The pilot's like one of the best pilots of all time. And then
the Buffy pilot is amazing.
But the first season is a little like, what's going on? So I do think that the first season will be incredibly fun to talk about because the first season is so weird.
Yeah, it is so weird.
But if you're going to listen, if you're going to watch some episodes in preparation and you like start at the beginning, just trust us that it gets very good.
Yeah. And like, I do think telling the master he has Kool-Aid mouth and then punching him in the face.
Yeah.
And like,
she's a diva.
I flunk the written. You guys, Buffy Summers. I flunk
the written is literally an
I want that tattooed on my ass.
Time comeback. Uh-huh. One of the best comebacks of all time.
It was written.
It was supposed to blank. It was written. I flunked the written.
I flunked the written.
So good.
She goes, you were supposed to
blank.
Like,
hey, I was leaving that out because it's a spoiler, babe. They haven't seen Buffy yet. I'll bleep it. That's why I said blank.
That's true. Okay, and we also are going to do it spoiler free, like we did.
Yes, of course. We want first time viewers to be able to experience it with us.
You're right. I just want them to get excited. And there's so many episodes that I would like throw to a friend. I remember I got in a car crash, and my friends, they came over to like hang out with me, and you know, I don't know. You know, when your friend gets in a car crash, you go hang out with your friend. And I remember they were like, do you want to watch something? And I was like, mm-hmm. I was like, I want to watch The Gift, which is the most fucking insane episode to show people.
Starring Broadway's own Joel Grey.
Joel Grey.
Starring the wizard himself from Wicked, Joel Grey.
And like the titular spoiler of the entire show like culminates in that episode. Uh-huh. So I like, it is so insane to me that I made them, not made them, but I watched that episode with them. I remember they enjoyed it, but they were really confused and I was like sobbing for many reasons.
No, you were right, because that's my favorite. The season that The Gift is in is my favorite season of
my favorite
the
season, me too.
Entire show.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the best season finale.
Oh,
that episode is nutso
amazing,
crazy. Oh, God, I love that show. I can't wait.
I know. I'm really genuinely so excited. And I think that something that I love so much about Glee is you and I both love it so much. And hear me out. There are things I love about Buffy more. It is my favorite TV show of all time. So
yeah, this is... I think, like Glee more than I like Buffy, although I love Buffy, mm-hmm. and I think you are the opposite. Yeah.
Yes. Where I love Glee, of course, but Buffy, it was the first tattoo I ever got in my life was a tattoo for Buffy. And it just, it is, so it feels like my heart is a little on the line when we talk about Buffy. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I just like attribute it so much to me, which is so, not attributed, but I see so much of myself in. So when people say they don't like it, I'm like, oh, so you don't like me. Yeah. Oh, so you think I'm terrible and awful and stupid and ugly.
Of course. You know? And they do.
And they do.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so I'm excited. I'm scared. Okay. But I'm so excited to watch it with you because I don't think you and I have ever watched it together.
And we haven't. I am certain that we have not.
Yeah, I'm excited. Mm.
Hooray!
Yay, I'm excited.
All right, well, what else? Do we want to like talk about something else and then read the email? Do you want to go straight into the email?
What else can we talk about?
I have like concerts I can announce that I'm going to announce at some
point. Oh, yes, please.
This. Yeah, okay. I'll just do that now.
Announcements, announcements, announcements.
Hi, anyone in the New York area? This weekend, I'm in two different concerts that you, I would love to have you there and see you and chat afterwards. The one of them on Monday night. So what day is that? You'd think I knew. On April 7th at the Green Room 42 in New York, I'm performing in the Best of Show People. So there is a theater production company that I did a show with back in January called Show People. That's just a bunch of artists who like write original musicals. They produce an original musical every year. And this is their fifth anniversary. So they're having a special concert for their fifth anniversary. And they invited anyone who'd ever been in any of their shows to participate in the concert if they wanted to. So I was like, I would love to. So that is happening on Monday at 9:30 p.m. at the Green Room 42. You can find tickets on the Green Room 42 website. You also, if you just go to their Instagram, their handle is Show People Theater Collective. That's their handle on Instagram. Theater is spelled R-E. They have it in their link tree is a link to tickets if you want to buy them. But that'll be very fun.
Yay.
I'm featured in a few of the songs. It'll be a grand old time. And then the 2 days before that, on Saturday and Sunday, I am performing in a concert of We Foxes at the Prospect Musicals Ignite Festival. It's at Barrick College, which is off of like 25th Street in Lexington. Let me make sure I said the name of that place. I did say it correctly. It is going to be on April 5th, which is Saturday at 7:30 p.m., and April 6th on Sunday at 3 p.m. And I didn't know that. I'm so excited about this. I didn't know that it was like being written about on playbill.com. So I officially have been mentioned on playbill.com, which is literally a lifelong goal of mine.
Yeah. I didn't. Oh my God. Congrats.
So it's a musical written by Ryan Scott Oliver that he's had produced a couple times, but I was just like scrolling through his Instagram and then saw that he had posted about Playbill and was like, huh, that's my name. But it's happening. It is a concert version of the show. I'm in the ensemble. The leads are all like people from Broadway. There's Kirsten Anderson, who is in The Revival of My Fair Lady, and Katie Thompson, who is in Sexy Oklahoma, and Philippe Arroyo, who is Francois in Anne Juliet. It's just like a lot of Broadway people who are all the leads. I'm in the ensemble. I'm very excited. I'm like very thrilled and honored to be a part of it. Tickets for that are selling, so you should get them sooner rather than later. Where can you get them? I'll tell you right now, at prospectmusicals.org. So if you're in New York and you want to see some singing, come to one of those shows. Heck yeah. And if you do come, please let me know. Like message me, DM me and be like, hey, I'm coming, because I would like to, you know, say
what's
up.
Send me a selfie.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's me.
Go support
baby.
Our team. Yay.
Hoorah.
I'm so glad. Hoorah. I am not doing anything. I have nothing to announce.
Heck yeah.
You want to follow me on Letterboxd? I'm just kidding. I've been going to the movies a lot recently.
What should I see? I haven't seen a movie since January because I like didn't have car access in Virginia.
I hear you. Let me check my Letterboxd.
Yeah, so I have to make up. I've paid for my AMC stubs those last 2 months. I didn't see a single movie, so I got to make up for it.
Oh my gosh.
That's what
nightmare.
And it is smart of them, but that's what's frustrating is if you cancel your membership, you can't renew it for 6 months. So I have these contracts I go on that are just like a month or two, and I pay for the membership knowing that I'm not going to use it at all while I'm there. So now I got to see those 2 months worth of movies.
Well, what's playing right now? Because
I have no idea. I've been in town for less than 24 hours.
I know. So at the beginning of the month, I saw The Monkey, which is Osgood. What the hell is his name?
Sure.
I don't know. He's from Legally Blonde. He did. What the hell is that movie he did?
I have no.
I know. I'm sorry. Osgood Perkins. Right, Jesus.
He did
Long Legs. So he is the guy who.
Is he the nerd?
He's the nerd who Aaron Schultz, Elle sticks up for.
Yes. Who she like to acts like they she's dated like, and she's gave, so in love with him.
You fucked me the best of my whole life. Yes. In not so many words.
That's exactly in that PG-13 movie. Reese Witherspoon says, "You fucked me the best of my whole life." With her full chest. Yes,
that's Osgood Perkins. And he did Long Legs. But he came out with The Monkey, which is based on like the Stephen King short story. Yes. And I really liked it. It was very silly. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Some people didn't enjoy it, but I mean, c'est la vie. Also, I really enjoyed Mickey 17. I know that people are also pretty across the board on that. I really, really liked Mickey 17. I saw Opus. I liked Opus fine, but I enjoyed it. I've seen that like twice, but everyone wants to go see it with me, I guess. And then I saw Death of a Unicorn also. I really also enjoyed Death of a Unicorn. I know other people. I know Andrew did not like it, but I really liked it. I also like everything. So grain of salt, of course. You're allowed to feel however you want to feel.
And Andrew doesn't like this season of White Lotus, and I do. So I know. We have different taste.
Well, we are supporting his merch. Go buy Andrew's
merch.
We are
actively both wearing matching Gleek of the Week sweaters right now.
He's got a really good project. I believe in his mission. I want to find the best song in Glee. Glink, it's Glink, Glee of the Week. Yeah, go buy his merch. Go match us. Yeah, so I know that Andrew didn't like Death of a Unicorn. I really liked it. It made me cry. But I mean, it also made me laugh a lot. My parents didn't like it. It's a little too eat the rich for them. But I really enjoyed it. But that's kind of what I've seen this month that's in theaters.
Okay, shout out. I'll check something out. I'm like probably going to go to the movies either tomorrow or Thursday. Because I got to get back in there. I got to make the most of this time when I am unemployed and desperately looking for a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mickey 17, Death of a Unicorn, Opus. Those should all still be there. So I would check those out.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We want to read an email?
Yeah. Let's read an email. This email got me real excited.
So this is an email from Drew. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Hey, Ian and Lena. First off, I want to say how excited I am to go on a new journey with you guys, especially as this will be a first time watch for me. Shout out, Drew is a patron. So they already knew because we announced it on Patreon.
Woohoo, Drew!
Now for the reason I had to rush to email you is because I have been catching up on episodes that I haven't been able to listen to and finally heard the episode Lena talks about her obsession with Dimension 20 and Dropout. I only recently discovered Dropout over last summer and have become obsessed. I have binged hours upon hours of their content. I have been addicted to Dimension 20, going through campaign after campaign. I need to know, what are Lena's favorite seasons? I absolutely love The Unsleeping City, particularly season 2. Zach Oyama is my prince. I would recommend this to Ian and Lena if she has not already listened to it, as it takes place in NYC and Stephen Sondheim is an NPC. Wait, I didn't know about that. That's amazing.
I'll give you my login, baby.
Okay, because that's the reason I've never gotten into Dropout is because I'm like, I simply can't afford it. Absolutely.
It's like the thing. It has been the subscription service that I will pay for because I'll give you my login.
I watch the TikTok clips of VIPs constantly. And I always dream of the day I could watch.
You are Vic Michaelis coded. It is actually so fucking
that's
insane.
So kind of you. I always think about my favorite one is the little boy who turned into rocks.
And I love that one.
And he's talking about how for his third wish, he wished to be rocks, which is so stupid. And then he's like, I didn't know that after the third wishes, that's all you get. And then Vic is like, oh, did the genie disappear? And she goes, no, he killed himself in front of me. She goes, he killed himself? Yeah, with a rope. That? I lose my mind every time I watch that video.
No, that whole episode, it's maybe my favorite episode of VIP. I really...
And the concept of, you would think, a little boy finds a genie and he's rocks. Mm-hmm. Like, the natural conclusion is the genie twisted one of his wishes. Like, he wished to be, like, super tough. Yeah, no. And the genie made him rocks. It is such a smart...
So he wanted to be rocks.
It is such a smart subversion to be like, no, he literally just wished to be rocks.
I also just think, like, to have a person in a full rock suit and then literally immediately... The actor is like, oh no, I'm a little boy. I'm a tiny boy.
And it's like, the first wish was for like, what is the first wish? The first wish for like money or something.
For his brother to come home from the army.
That was the second one, was that his brother comes home from the army.
Then the first one is a really big candy bar.
Yeah, really big candy bar. His brother to come home from the army, and then to be rocks.
And I also love that his mom is like pissed at him for being rocks. I'll text you as soon as we get off. I'm such a dropout person, but I'll text you my login.
Okay. That was not the end of Drew's email. Let me continue. Yeah. This is Drew. Lena, where would you recommend someone new to Smosh to start? There's been quite a bit of crossover between the two production companies, and I want to start exploring Smosh, but there is so much content. I have no idea where to begin. It is so fantastic to find someone who loves Dropout, as I feel it is niche and hard to find others to talk about it with. Love you guys always, Drew.
And this is why I'm going to give Ian my login so we can talk about it. No, I totally agree. To talk about my feelings about Dropout before I tell you about Smosh, because these are like my two... Drew, this email made me so excited because these are my two things. I love Dropout so much. I remember especially I watched the first season of Dimension 20 when it was like on YouTube. And then as soon as I realized that they were doing a new season, I was like, or you couldn't get the rest of the season on. It was just like the first half of season one on YouTube. And then I was like, I'm so obsessed with this. I need more. So I've been a dedicated Dropout subscriber for years, almost 5 years. I love it so much. I'm especially, Dimension 20 is their D&D show. I really recommend it. My favorite seasons, I love the Crown of Candy so much. Crown of Candy is Candyland, but it's Game of Thrones. So it's by far, girl, you need to, it is as violent as Game of Thrones with candy people. And it is simultaneously so fucking hilarious that these are like, licorice people and they're like a gummy bear fighter and he's like the Kingsguard guy, but it is the most dramatic season. It has, I mean, to spoil it a little bit, no, I'm not going to spoil it. It's just the most dramatic and, but it's also so fucking funny and I love that season so much. I'm like every day I'm praying for a second season because they've only done one, a second season of Crown of Candy. I really love it. It is so amazing to me. Recently, I've been rewatching The Seven, which The Seven is like a companion to their original season, which is called, oh my God, that's so embarrassing.
The Four, The Six.
No, girl, shush. What's it called? it's John Hughes's, it's like a John Hughes Adventuring Academy. It's the Edgeworth Adventuring Academy. It's called Fantasy High. Good God. Yeah. So it's a sequel to Fantasy High. In the first season, they have to save seven virgins. And this is new people coming in and playing those seven girls. And it is it's really special. It's really super lovely. So I love that season. I also love Unsleeping City, which is their season set in New York. It is, oh my God. I love season two. Season one also was really super special to me. Season two, they did over Zoom, which like was very exciting and awesome. I also love, oh my God, I love every season. I really loved the action movie one. I talked to you a little bit about that. They did it this last year. And it's these people who work in a movie, like a blockbuster. Mm-hmm. and then they get sucked into an action movie and they have to like play these characters.
Oh.
It's seriously so fun. So they are, you know, it's this guy who is this like nerdy teenager, but also is Vin Diesel in this other world. So he's playing this nerdy guy and also Vin Diesel. It is so fucking so, oh my, I love it so much. They also, Dungeons and Drag Queens is really super awesome. Uh-huh. It has Bob, Monet, Alaska, and Jujubee, and it is really special. And they learn how to play D&D while they're doing it. So I always suggest that to people who like want to check that out. I love what else do we wanna? I watch every season, so I'm genuinely very excited. That one is called Never Stop Blowing Up. I also really love
the action movie one.
Mm-hmm, is Never Stop Blowing Up.
Got it.
I also love A Court of Fae and Flowers. It's basically like a Bridgerton season, and it's really super special. So they're like, you know, they're like, it's like if Jane Austen had like owl bears in the. Mm-hmm. It's just really super special. Anyway, God, I'm a
owl
big
bears.
Yeah, girl, it's all and it makes you cry.
Does
it's really
she
awesome.
Not? Clearly yeah, someone hasn't read Persuasion.
No, exactly. No, and it's really super special. So that's my niche on Dropout, but I also really love Game Changer. I love Very Important People, Very Important Person, excuse me. I watch everything that Dropout does. Mm-hmm. So I will give you my login, but I especially recommend the Dimension 20. I recommend their D&D shows. For Smosh. It just depends on what you like, I would say, to start out with Smosh. Of course, there's so much, like, honestly, that, like, the LA, like, comedy improv scene, they're all kind of, like, together, so you'll see a lot of, like, recurring characters on Dropout, on Smosh, on even, like, the Try Guys and, like, Mythical as well, which is kind of right where my niche is, so I'm obsessed with them. For Dropout, I think it just depends on what you like. So they have so many things. They have three different channels called the Smosh Main Channel, which is where they do more of their like sketch comedy. They have a new show called Bit City that Angela and Chance, Angela is my favorite Smosh person, she hosts. And it's like kind of their like spoofy SNL thing. So they like host the show. They like do little like smaller, it's just called Bit City. It's really funny. Every week they have a boy band theme, or they have a gossip theme, or, you know, anything. Mm-hmm. They have like a theme and then they like make sketches about it. Yep. So they do mostly sketch stuff on the Smosh Main Channel. Smosh Pit is where they do like challenges, so like internet type challenges. They also will do like things like Family Feud, and they will do things like Try Not to Laugh, which is a big Smosh thing where they will like bring in Zach Oyama to like sit on a stool and then put water in his mouth and then try and make him laugh, which is super. I really love Try Not to Laugh. And then they'll also do like they have their own Jeopardy show called Bepperty, where they will like they have a musical theater Bepperty. So they'll have people come on and like just do Jeopardy essentially. Mm-hmm. And so that's really fun. I really love Smosh Pit. That's where they do most of their like challenge stuff. And then they have Smosh Games, which I generally would point someone looking to get into Smosh and to like get to know the people to Smosh Games, because that's kind of where I started. They'll do video games, but I love when they play board games. It is so near and dear to my heart as like a perpetual, gotta get emotional. As like a person, oh my God, I'm like generally alone most, I'm sorry. I just love Smosh. I'm like generally alone most of the time. So in moments, I would never say this to someone from Smosh, but where I feel alone, I love to watch them play games together. Oh my God, I did not mean to get this emotional. Because they genuinely feel like my friends. Oh my God, so embarrassing. But that's how I feel about them. So I love to watch them play games. They'll sometimes play games as characters, but it's just a really good way to get to know the people in Smosh and the Smosh crew and to watch them play games. And then I love the Smosh podcast, but generally I would point you to Smosh games to like get to know everyone. And then I also, if you want to watch Try Not to Laugh, I would point you to a compilation. So the Smosh fans are cuckoo bananas crazy, and they will make compilations of the best moments, and they'll be like 45 minutes of my favorite TNTL bits that make me piss my pants. And they're all really awesome and really funny, because each TNTL, like, there's going to be like hits and misses. So it's hard to like point you to like, I really like 150. I can't like just tell you a number, because they're just, But also I would point you to a compilation. Just like Google a compilation, or like YouTube a compilation. You'll find one, and they're all really awesome, and the Smosh fans are really cool. And yeah, I really genuinely, I watch Smosh every single day. Bob the Drag Queen was just on the podcast yesterday, and it was like the best day of my whole life. So that's, not to cry about Smosh on Main, but yay! I just love them. They're my friends. And I genuinely, they mean so much to me, and I love them. So yeah, I would point you to games. And then also I love their, you know, I love Smosh Pit as well. And they did a, oh my God, they did a, The Quiet Place Challenge. That's one of my favorite episodes. I rewatch that all the time. And then if you like video games, they do also, three of like Angela, Courtney, and Amanda did, they played Grand Theft Auto, which I don't know shit about Grand Theft Auto. And I loved them watching them doing that. Angela and Amanda, oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm just so excited. Angela, they played this prank on her on the podcast, because she hosts the podcast. Sorry to dump like Smosh on you. But she, they played this prank on her where they convinced her that Five Nights at Freddy's was a real story. And she was like, no way, you're kidding. And then she and Shane go to play all of Five Nights at Freddy's. And it is, they are genuinely the funniest people on the planet. They play it in VR as well. And it's so fucking hilarious. I really love them. They are my best friends. So heck, I love them.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
I love Smosh.
It's so interesting. Like, I don't really know what happened, but like Smosh and College Humor was like what I watched in like middle school and early high school, like back in the day when Smosh was like Ian and Anthony, and then occasionally someone else would show up. And I literally remember when Zach Oyama joined College Humor and was like the new guy on campus. And then for whatever reason, I frankly genuinely think it's because I went on my mission, and it's so like when you're away from all pop culture for 2 years, just like a lot of stuff gets lost to time to you, that they both are such powerhouse industries now.
Yeah. It's so interesting and so cool. They're both so different than what they were.
Yeah.
Because I liked Smosh growing up, but I'll go back and watch some of their sketches. Sketch comedy is not like my favorite thing. I love their like long form improv stuff a little more.
Yes.
And I feel like them improving is kind of where they shine now. And I feel similarly about Dropout, where they're not doing as many sketches. They're doing more long form improv.
Yeah.
And so they're both so different, but oh my God.
Well, I also feel like College Humor at least felt like, and this is true if you look at a lot of the original cast, it kind of felt like people who wanted to be working in television but weren't getting those jobs. And so they're like, let's just do it ourselves. And a lot of those people have gone on to work in television. Like a lot of them have gone on to like work on SNL or write for sitcoms, et cetera, et cetera. The current guard feels like, no, this, it's not like I'm doing this until I can do something else. Like, this is what I want to do. So whereas the original version was like, we're making little mini sketches in hopes that someone will someday pay us to write their stories for them.
Yeah.
This is like, no, I just love improv and comedy, and now I'm just doing it on camera.
Yeah.
At least that's my perspective. I am not nearly as well versed in it as you.
No, I think that's right. I mean, I think they, you know, these are all comedians and they want a space to, and I do think that Dropout, especially, I'm not as familiar with what like Smosh's like business model is, but I know that Dropout, they do like a lot of, they just like really care about who works for them, and they really care about paying their creators, and they care about like every time that they like make, what's that called when you make more money and then you share it at the end of the year?
A bonus. I don't know.
Yeah. Some sort of bonus, but like, you know, they do like a, not wage share. I forget what that's called. anyway, if you know what I'm talking about, you know. But they, like, once they make a certain amount of money and they make more than they anticipated, they share that with their actors. They share that with the people who are making their stuff with them, which I think is just a really good business model. And it was made to, like, you know, support these people. I think Sam Reich is like a stand-up individual, and they just do really good work, and it's something that I'm happy to support, and I just love them, and I really just love Dropout so much. I feel the same about Smosh. I just, I love my LA comedians. I'm obsessed with them. I can't help it. Anyway.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, everyone go watch Smosh. Everyone go watch Dropout if you have a subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And also everyone,
which they don't have any rules, go watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Also, Dropout doesn't have any rules on, like, sharing your account with people. So, like, find a friend, split it amongst 12 people, give you, like, everyone pitch in a quarter, because they don't have rules like that, because they're not stupid like Netflix.
Booyah.
And I'll say it to Netflix's face.
I will, too.
Yeah, well, go watch Buffy. I'm excited. I hope you're excited, too. And,
Our Patreon continues being patreon.com/recoveringgleek. It will continue to be that because we can't change it.
And we are, as an entity, Recovering Gleek forever.
Yes, of course. And we present. And what we're presenting is Buffy. And our email continues to be recoveringgleek@gmail.com if you want to follow us there. Our Instagram will be changing. So keep an eye on that. I believe it's changing to @RGPresents. Is that the vibe?
I think so. As long as it's available to us.
Yeah, but keep an eye on that.
Don't take it.
But if you want to go on our Patreon, we just uploaded. We finally, literally like 3 years later, finished talking about the Pitch Perfect trilogy. We just talked about Pitch Perfect 3. Lena had never seen it. She watched it for the first time.
I never had.
And we'll see what they want us to talk about for April, but tune in on our Patreon. And then you can also hear like our first episode talking about Buffy where we make the decision to do it, as well as our pilots on other shows that tragically
didn't make
are
the cut.
Also ran.
But we still had fun talking about that.
Yes.
If you're interested, we talked about, oh, wow.
I mean, if you literally, I think if you go on our Patreon, you can see the titles of the episodes. You just can't listen to them.
So we'll tell you
right now.
Yeah.
We talked about Riverdale. We talked about Once Upon a Time. We talked about Smash. And we talked about Buffy, and then we enjoy talking about Buffy the most.
Yeah. And we enjoy talking about Buffy so much that we were like, maybe we'll talk about more pilots. And then we were like, actually, we're not going to talk about any more pilots. Like, that's, she's our girl.
She's our prophecy cosmic. Girl.
She's our prophecy girl. Oh, right, my God. Love you all.
See you here
Have
in 2 weeks.
Have a great day. Here's, see you in 2 weeks. Happy April. I hope April is good for you. Here's a kiss on your forehead if you accept it. I forgot how we ended the podcast.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok @RecoveringGleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.